I was never that person that said, gosh, I need to own my own business. I want to have control of my own destiny. I wasn't. I like to be more comfortable and cozy and have someone else who's worrying about retirement plans and health accounts for me. Right. And I was okay with that. And I was okay with working for someone else. So stepping out and doing things on my own was a huge, huge leap of faith. And I was pretty much pushed out the window. I didn't, because I did see that need. And I felt like somebody needed to be out there and be filling it and really be educating people.
Welcome to the Winning E-Commerce Experience Show, where it's all about creating a brand that your customers love so they keep coming back. This show is brought to you by DataQ. Your store experience begins with your homepage. DataQ improves your conversion rate up to 30% by showing each visitor a personalized homepage based on their interest. And now your host, Shahram Enver.
Hey guys, our guest today founded her own business, Green Wellness Life, to help people live healthier lives through hemp. Brandy, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So we were just talking about how things are sort of getting back normal-ish, that you're back in the office finally. That must feel good.
Normal-ish, I think, is the key, Shahram. Yes, it feels wonderful to be back to a bit of a routine. I've got two kids at home, so just getting out and back into the office is pretty wonderful.
Wow. We had a podcast episode a while ago, and he actually did the episode from his car. That was the only way he could get away from all the noise. That was just amazing. I really want to make that a good hack.
Right. Well, as a parent, I mean, there are worse places you could get some privacy at home, right?
I've got a 1.5-year-old, so, you know, like, there's no explaining to them.
Right.
Like, we've got a show to do, so you need to be quiet now.
Isn't that funny? See, my kids are a little older, so I'm now their personal assistant. Before I left this morning, I had to set up a Google Hangout for my 9-year-old and get her set up, and then I was able to leave. So, yeah, I work for them.
So besides busy life as a parent, tell us about Green Wellness Life. Tell us a little bit about you and why you started the business.
Sure. So the business started in 2016, and truly it was an accident. My husband and I both were extremely busy. He's an automotive engineer. Our kids were much younger then, and I was working for a company that manufactured military and aerospace parts. So everything was a contest. I mean, we were paying more in childcare than our mortgage at that point in time and just figuring out how to juggle. Well, my company asked me to help them start a new plant in Mexico. So we moved to Arizona for 2 years for that contract, and my husband stayed home with the kids, and we figured out, oh, this is how people do it. This is kind of amazing. So when we came back home to Michigan, we knew that I needed to take a step back, and I was looking for part-time project management. I wanted to use my skills, but not, be able to spend that additional time at home. So I came across a hemp company that was pretty new, and they were looking for someone to do things like write job descriptions and write a handbook and really help them set a structure. And I said, well, I can do that. So I figured, fun summer job, mm-hmm. and then I'd go back to real world. And I stayed. And when I stayed, I fell in love with this plant and everything that it could do. And it was as much a surprise to me as anybody. But I really found a future and kind of found my calling, I guess, in the hemp business. So that was a manufacturer that I was with for years. They're still a great vendor for me, and I still sell their products today. And they actually were very encouraging for me to get out, because I felt like there was a market for hemp that wasn't being explored. And I felt that there was a lot of educating to do. We get lumped in as being the same plants as marijuana, and really they're cousins, but they're not the same at the end of the day. And I really wanted to share that with people like me, with moms and people that were looking for those more natural alternatives to just, you know, feeding our families pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Because you know, there's really two parts of what you just said, right? I think you found yourself in a situation where you wanted to do your own business, mm-hmm. but then you also happened to have fallen in love with a certain product that you felt mm-hmm. connected with. And I'd say that, especially in this environment right now, a lot of people are probably feeling that first part of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many layoffs right now, and I think, you know, just the fact that people are working from home, they're probably thinking, how do I But it sounds to me like that second part of what you said is really the critical piece, right? It's like, I think everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, but I guess that really hard thing is to find that product or service or whatever it is that you feel like you can connect with and add value to other people's lives. Before you find that, maybe it's not a good idea to jump in.
I agree completely. And I almost had to be pushed in, Sharam. I was never that person that said, gosh, I need to own my own business. I want to have control of my own destiny. I wasn't. I like to be more comfortable and cozy and have someone else who's worrying about retirement plans and health accounts for me. Right. And I was okay with that. And I was okay with working for someone else. So stepping out and doing things on my own was a huge, huge leap of faith. And I was pretty much pushed out the window. I didn't because I did see that need. And I felt like somebody needed to be out there and be filling it and really be educating people. I got so many jokes when I started about being a drug dealer and you know all of these things but it was kind of funny how it turned from, oh, you know, what are you doing selling pot in the corner to, hey, that stuff you gave me for my dogs, that really helped. And oh my gosh, that balm, like it made all the difference in my sunburn and could I get some more? So it was kind of funny how quickly it changed, but I got all the jokes for a while.
but I love that, you know, the what you said at the end, because I think that's the ultimate in job satisfaction, right? Where you feel like you touched someone's life and they actually like were genuinely thankful. I think especially when you're doing a job, especially more so if you're doing a job for a very, very big company, I think those moments are so hard to come by because you're so removed from that ultimate service to an actual human being, right?
Absolutely. And that's why we do it. So for every frustration, for every problem, and with an e-commerce site, there will be all of the frustrations and problems. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not a techie. I didn't start this from a position of great knowledge and that part of things. So for all those problems, when you get that real human engagement and interaction and somebody's telling you, you made a difference in my life, I mean, that's all the validation you need to say that you're going to keep going. And at this point, I can't imagine doing anything different.
I love that. And I love that you're saying that, especially now, because God knows how tough it's been to be a business owner in this period, because you were talking about having kids. And I feel like, you know, as a business owner, when you have employees, it's not the same, but you do feel like you're responsible for so many more people now than yourself. And yeah. I know a lot of business owners have been making some very tough decisions. So it's really awesome to hear you say that, especially now. So that's great, Mandy. Thank you.
Challenging. These are challenging times, my friend.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was looking at these. Somebody posted this little screenshot of a Google trend graph that apparently the word unprecedented is now like, the use of the word unprecedented in Google search terms is unprecedented.
Oh, the irony. My I mentioned that I have a 9-year-old, so she's reading Treasure Island right now. And with every chapter, they get a word of the day. And her word of the day yesterday was predicament. And I said, oh, we've got all the uses for this one. Don't you worry. Predicament indeed.
Mm-hmm. So let's jump into hemp. I think, you know, you've one of the, I think one of those ingredients, there's so many, I think people talk about in terms of ingredients for success, but the one thing which I heard from what you were saying that you used to work for this company for a few years, and it seems like that experience gave you a lot of background to the product that you were about to sell, right?
And, it did.
And I think that's a very important part of like being a business owner, because when you're a maker, you're selling something, you actually need to be the expert on it, right? So talk us through those early days. So clearly, I don't know if was it like you woke up one morning and you thought, I'm going to sell this thing, or was it just this idea that was germinating in your head and you were thinking about what's that market you're going to hit? You know, what problems do you want to solve? Because we talked about hemp being a very versatile ingredient. So what led to that moment where you thought, this is what I want to do my business in?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was definitely the latter. It was a small idea that germinated and I spent months with thinking about how to do things differently. I was lucky in that when I was working for this manufacturer, part of what I did was travel and go to trade shows. And so I did everything from the Crunchy Granola Health Expos, where I am talking to moms and older people and pet lovers, who don't really understand why they would have a need and why they should be introduced to these products. And then I also did I did the Freedom Festival in Boston, which was just a big pot show that was like nothing I've ever seen before. And I did a lot of those shows too. So I kind of, that was, I think, what helped me really hone in on the people that I felt were being underserved in this market. You know, I joke that hemp is sexy and my website and products are not, but we're not. Those aren't my people. I want the natural people. I want people who want to be educated. There's nothing more frustrating than picking up the phone and making a call because you want to be educated and the person on the line knows less than you do. So that was kind of ground zero for me, is I want to be an expert and really be able to help people. And I'm not always going to have the answers. And when I don't, I'm going to say, I don't have the answers, but I'll find them for you. And I'll figure it out and I'll do some homework and I'll point you in the right direction. So that was where I started, from a point of, let me educate consumers and let me educate consumers like me and like my family and like my girlfriends, who just want to be able to be healthier and want to understand more. So that was kind of where I started. And then it grew from there.
And to me, that sounds like, that sounds very smart, because you know, I know you were joking earlier, but I think there was so much truth to that, where you were talking about people joking that you were a drug dealer, and mm-hmm. like you were. But it sounds to me that you really understood that this segment of the market needs education, because perhaps that was their first reaction to it. That, okay, what, like, I don't want to consume something from this plant that's got so many other associations. So mm-hmm. it seems like education was probably the best way to reach this market, because I guess you felt that they were underserved because they didn't even think that this product could actually solve their problems, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've always stood on the fact that we educate first. I will spend an hour with someone and educate them. And if they don't buy a thing, that's okay, because they know more than when they came in. So we educate first and we sell second. And we've stood by that. It was a lot easier when we started. It's kind of funny to say, because now people are definitely more comfortable with it and more understanding, and that knowledge base is growing significantly more than, you know, 2016 when I started. But in 2016, there wasn't the competition that there is today. I mean, our competition has grown by, I don't know, the last statistic I saw was something like 3,000% since then. So, I mean, and it's literal. And we're able to get funding and have banks actually treat us like a real legal entity, which was not the case when I started. So today it's easier and harder in different ways. Definitely, I think that there has to be a lot more attention paid to the audience and everything that's going into that e-commerce site, to make sure that we're attracting the right type of people and those repeat customers. I didn't have to work as hard at that when I started. I just had to work harder at people understanding that I wasn't a drug dealer. So now I don't have to work quite so hard at the drug dealing aspect. But everything else in the marketing, we have to get a lot more intentional than we have, just because there are so many other people out there doing it.
The cool thing about what we've talked about so far, it's really been great stuff, because it's really like very business 101, really things which you're actively living out, because you found a product that you could identify with. Mm-hmm. You identified an underserved part of the segment that you felt that you could reach. And then you realize that this segment needs a special way or a different way of communication than, mm-hmm. and so you've built your brand and your communication and everything around, how do I be that legit source for this group, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really good segue to just maybe let's talk about your website in particular, because you sell online. Mm-hmm. And you know, you talked about this a few times, that hemp is pretty young and trendy, but you don't want to be that. You want to be like selling to the moms and the pet owners and things like that.
Yep.
So how did that translate to a website? Did you work with a designer or did you do it yourself? Like, what were those design guidelines in your mind when you were thinking, okay, how do I translate my vision online?
Mm-hmm. In my mind, it was really just a color scheme. You know, I wanted to keep everything earthy and natural and real, and not focus on, you know, bright neon, and not focus on, you know, huge buy one, get one sales and everything that's flashy to get people in the door. I really wanted to keep things earthy and comfortable and easy to navigate and reward people for coming back rather than offering deep discounts at the beginning. So that was kind of, you know, it was colors and kind of nature in my brain. Mm-hmm. But that's not my area of expertise. I can educate people. I can serve them. I'm awesome with customer service because I care about humans. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as good at the rest of it. So I absolutely hired a designer. I phone interviewed probably 7 or 8 and I got actual website proposals from 3 of them. And then I hired the one that I felt was going to be the best partner. And
how did you determine that? Because that's a really tough one, right? So was it just a connection that you had human to human that you felt like, wow, he or she gets me? Or like, what was that? What was that thinking?
That was a piece of it. And I respected that he asked an absurd number of questions, like a ridiculous, annoying number of questions, because it meant that he really wanted to understand what I wanted. And he certainly wasn't saying, here are my box options. Let's pick the one that fits you best, right? He was saying, we're going to build a new box based on what works best for you. And this new box isn't going to be overnight and it's not going to be cheap. But you tell me what you want it to look like at the end and we're going to build something that you're happy with. And he did. And there was customization, but he definitely was not the cheapest and it wasn't quick. I want to say probably 6 months from initial conversation to site launch. But some of that was on me, right? I was working, I was doing things. So I wasn't always getting him everything back as quickly as I'm sure he would have appreciated. So it took some time. But I was really pleased with that process. And he's still a partner for me today. He still does my website hosting. He's still the person that I go to when I want to make major changes. I have another subcontractor that will make the more minor changes for me that helps as an ongoing partner. But that initial source is still my guy for the big stuff.
So you mentioned that when you started it, it took 6 months. And you've been doing this business for a while now. So this is a question which I like to answer. Like, if you could speak to, 2016 Brandy, mm-hmm. and tell her all the things that, you know now that you wish she knew, what would it be? Well, what are the mm-hmm. things that you'd like to tell her?
Yeah, I'd probably tell her to settle down on expectations, because when we came out the gate, I mean, there just simply wasn't that competition. And so we were selling shockingly fast and our numbers went up shockingly quick, but I wasn't really doing the work. We weren't putting the work into those quality relationships and those quality links. It was fast and easy. And that worked well for us. And then some of the Google updates came through and really hit us because we hadn't been spending the time building their relationships and making sure that all of our linking was really clean and quality. If somebody wanted to link to our site, we were like, sure, let's do that. It'll be great. So we had a really steep, a quick growth, and then we had a drop off that was pretty frustrating. And then we kind of had to regenerate, right? And focus on quality link, focus on quality information, and then just let those repeat customers and let time do its work to get us back to a stable growth track. So we're growing again, we're stable again, but I'm not seeing that really quick, that kind of quick and dirty growth. And when that's how you start, that's what you expect. So I think you tend to be a little hard on yourself when instead your growth rate of a small business performs like, oh, I don't know, a normal small business.
No, but I think that's really good advice because it also seems like you were fortunate in a sense as well, right? Because I think we were just talking about how difficult doing a business can be. And even if you were getting this like quick results, I'm pretty sure it helps a lot in terms of motivation because it tells you, it validates you after being called a drug dealer and all this other stuff, waiting 6 months. I mean, there's pain involved in that process. So mm-hmm. I must have felt amazing that, okay, like everything I thought of, like people are buying this.
Yep. You're exactly right. It's painful and it's scary, especially for someone who's not a natural entrepreneur, who's not a natural risk taker. That was my money. Oh my gosh, what happens now? My kids probably do need to go to college someday. I don't know. I'd like to retire maybe. So that was scary, but really it's been validated. And it's given me, being a business owner has given me freedoms that I never realized, I really wanted and that I really valued. So there's been a lot of personal growth along with the professional. And I have been incredibly lucky to surround myself with an awesome, awesome team. I cannot imagine doing this in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's all by themselves and handling everything, I cannot imagine the stress of that. Yeah, absolutely. Because I have got a team that supports me and that that loves me and that loves what we do. So it's been great.
So now I think I'm curious, and I'm sure the viewers are curious as well. Let's have a look at the website that you know you guys came up with, and I'd love to just like have you talk us through, you know, thinking behind it and why you made the decisions that you did.
Sure.
So you should see that. There we go.
Are we there?
Yep.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So this is our homepage. Mm-hmm. We have grown a lot and made a lot of changes in the last 4 years, and then a lot of it has stayed the same. So Ted was my website designer and still my web partner, and he gives me all of the crap. So when I started, I wanted to have all of my categories in these cool little buttons down here that were easy to hop to. And he said, absolutely not. You can have 5. And I said, but I want 7. And he said, well, you get 5. And that is all. So he has really pushed back a lot on keeping things clean, keeping them streamlined, and making sure that I'm making the right choices. When we started, we had our main banner here was a family, and we've changed that a couple of times. And now a recent thing that we're playing with is making it products instead, and just trying to see if that speaks to people while still keeping these little category buttons down here, some of those with human faces in them, just to see. One thing that we have always really embraced is our imperfection. So if you look at our social media, we don't do a whole ton with stock photos. We do a lot of natural items. We do a lot of natural, not perfect and not touched up photos, because we are a small business and we are real people, and we want others to kind of embrace that in us and not just the, you know, big corporate stock perfect photos. So we do that. But on our website, we really, do stick with those stock photos, just trying to keep things clean and very searchable. We also take customer feedback pretty seriously. So here we've got an option to log into our account. We've added that to multiple pages as a response to customers saying they're not always sure how to log in or log out to get to their information, to see those most recent orders or to check out. We have a point system where people are rewarded for coming back to us. So that's mm-hmm. their way to check it out. We've also tried to take those most common phone calls and chats and emails and filter those out to make it more searchable for our customers. So that's going to be our type of use and our kind of processing level that's over here. If somebody's hurting and they're not sure what to go with, we're trying to make it easy for them to see, okay, these products would be a good fit for what you're experiencing. If we've got people who need to make sure that they have a zero THC product because of drug testing or because of their own comfort level, we want to make sure that that's really easy for them too. So that's kind of our shopping and trying to keep things clean and neat. But then we have got a number of places to really get back to that education, which is our baseline. So we've got our latest news at the bottom so people can see our blogs, which are everything from here's our new products to, condition specific to fun recipe tips that you can use with CBD. So we really try to cover all of our bases there and making sure that we've got a little something for everyone. And then we've got a learn category at the top that really is very thorough and links to other websites and links to research and kind of explains, if they're just starting, let's talk about why hemp and marijuana aren't the same and go from there. And then we've also, of course, got our reviews and testimonials Believe it or not, reviews were a really hard thing when we started the website. And I don't know about you, Sharam, but when I'm looking for something new, I want to see what other people say about it, right? Absolutely. That's all we look at. So being able to do that for Hemp and focus there has been pretty great. Getting all of the links to work between the review website and our website has been not as much fun. But that's kind of what you have to deal with in e-commerce. All of your little plugins, everything doesn't always play nicely together. So that's mm-hmm. a fun game.
And, one of the things which let's go back to your homepage. I'd really love to just complete, because you mentioned that you were playing around with the banner quite a bit. So you changed from mm-hmm. family to the products. I think what works really well here is clearly like it's very obvious what you're selling. I think there's way too many companies that just model their first time view. Right now it's like, okay, it says green wellness, but I can see hemp, I can see raw hemp oil. And then I think the idea of having these buttons are really good. Let's keep going down. And I really like to see like what the thinking behind. So immediately now we're talking about talk a little bit about yourself here, right? It's like an intro of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the rewards. So you really put a lot of focus on the rewards program. Has this been a big part of growing your business?
It has been. People earn a rolling 10% discount. So I know that a lot of this is based on me as a consumer. And I know that I'm more willing to go back and shop somewhere if they're going to give me a discount for doing that. I'm sorry, one second. We never unlocked a door. So, you know, sometimes we goof up on things like that. Hannah's saving the day. Too funny. So we do an emphasis on rewards. We try to emphasize referrals, and we want people to send, if they are seeing benefits from us, we want them to send their friends and family so that they can too. So that is something that has worked out really, really well for us. Something that I didn't mention that I hope people can see here is that we don't manufacture our own products here, and that's intentional. I think when a company manufactures their product, that's what they sell. They make the most money there, and that's what they tend to focus on. The fact that we offer a number of different manufacturers means that we can really work with people to find their best fit and ensure that we've got it, because not everybody has a one size fits all. So we've got lots of options there. And we try to be intentional and make that clear even on our landing page.
And does the design, because to me, when I look at your website, it doesn't look that young, trendy look, which we're all used to seeing with those very like, you know, clean line fonts and sort of like very minimalist. It looks very clear that you really designed it with your user in mind, where you've made the buttons very clear. They're big, they're orange, so you really can't miss them. Because I've spoken to a lot of e-commerce owners, and they all talk about how like different age groups and different levels of sophistication with technology means that you are going to lose customers if they can't find what they're looking for. And it clearly yep. looks like you've designed this with your visitor in mind.
We've certainly tried. We also really worked on improving our search feature. I definitely take customer complaints to heart. And I'm the one that sees all of them. We have a shared inbox. So anytime somebody complains about some feature of the website, I'm able to quickly see that. And it initially was a problem because I wanted to take action on everything. Well, right. You know, sometimes it's just one guy that's struggling and, you know, we're not the problem. So sometimes I have to take a minute and think about it and say, okay, you know, let's jot this down. And if we're seeing more than one or two people that are having the same issue, then we'll take action rather than just taking action on every single complaint, which was always my knee-jerk reaction to make everyone happy and make sure that they all are having a positive shopping experience.
Right. And you know, you've been around for a while now. So what would you say, the top three things that you've learned and you've actively changed on your website in response to what you learned?
Top three things I have learned. I think the top thing that I've learned is that not everybody thinks like me. So I'm someone that will do my research, that will really scroll down, spend some time on a page, dig in, and not everybody's going to do that. So you want to make sure that you've got things as clear and upfront as possible. Simplify.
So what did that look like before? And like, you know, I'm trying to think of like an example where you changed something on your website in response to something you learned. Like for instance, you mentioned that you had these buttons for how people use it, like paying 0% TSE. I thought that was a great one. So I'm assuming people were asking you, hey, like what products do you have for this? And you thought, you know what, I'll just put it on the website. Is there anything like else like that where you got these questions and you thought, huh, I didn't think of that. I'm going to put it on the website.
Exactly. Yep. I did that with our blogs. So our blogs were initially on the homepage because I, of course, want to have all of that information right up front and available for people. Mm-hmm. But it involved a lot of scrolling and it was really, really wordy. So instead, now you have to go over to our Learn. You click on blogs and then we've added a lot more graphics to each of those to try to make it a little clearer as to what it's about. And then we set them up in this grid format so that people can navigate them more quickly and easily. And then we also added these quick links. So if you're looking for information on pets, for example, we've got all of those in one location so that you can more easily navigate them and you don't have to sift through kind of volumes of information. So that was definitely a change that we made in response to, you know, customer requests and also just trying to make sure that we were getting access to information more simply.
That sounds great. I especially because, you know, before we were talking about the site, you mentioned how learning is so important and education. And that's really come out in the way you guys have designed the site because, you know, on the same row as shop, I can see learn. So that's not a word which you normally see on an e-commerce site. So I think that gets a lot of attention. Are you guys tracking, you know, any stats in terms of traffic you're getting from SEO because people are coming to your site because they want to learn?
We are. We track. We've got a few different tools that we use for tracking. We use ActiveCampaign for our emails, and so that way we're able to track which blogs drive the most traffic, so what people are most interested in. And they even allow us to track what it is in that blog that people are clicking to come over and buy. So is it the blog title that's sparking their interest? Is it the product mentions down below? Where are we seeing the most traffic that is actually getting people over to this site away from that email? And we've got a pretty giant email list over the years. We've built, I say giant, everything's relative, right? We've got about 30,000 people on our email list though.
That's good.
I think that's pretty darn good. So we're able to garner a lot of information that way. And it does guide what we're talking about and make sure that we're getting information out there that people want to know about, not just what we think is interesting.
Right. Because it makes me think, what you've done here is, if you're talking about 30,000 people on your email list, what you've done is you've effectively built a community because you've got 30,000 people that have told you that they want to hear more from you. What is it that you did, you think, that made people connect? Is it the learning or is it anything else that you know, what would you attribute that success to? Because I think every business owner wants to create that community of people who are fans, for lack of a better word. So, you know, what do you think helped you build that?
I think that we've kept things personal. I think that we, even in our, if you read our blogs and the things that we write about them from a personal experience. And I think that other people relate to that. They can recognize when you're being genuine, when you're caring for something and when you're caring for them. I will be incredibly generous on return policy, on helping people find the right fit in a lot of ways that other companies, most companies, I would say would not. We're very responsive. We are responding on evenings, on weekends, making sure that we're getting right back to people, even if they're just people who, you know, are being fussy and complaining about something. We're always going to approach it and we're always going to respond quickly and as personally as possible. And I think that has made a real difference for us.
Awesome. So clearly it's your customer support. You find that that's one of the most important ways to differentiate.
I do. I think especially now when there's so much competition and there's so many other options out there, I think that you have to have an amazing customer experience. And if you don't, you need to figure out why and what you need to change and do differently.
So I'm just going to stop the screen share because I think we've just gone through everything. But and let's talk about that because I think that's a really important point. You know, we started this discussion about, you know, what you do as a small business. And I think one of those ways is that you don't have to sound like a robot with customer support, because I think you can so much, you have so much more like flexibility, let's say, to be a human being and to understand and not say, look, this is our policy and you just cross that policy. So it sounds like you guys are really embracing that.
We absolutely are. And I've got a group of three women here, and it's strictly the three of us that are providing all of that service. So any email, any phone call, any chat, you're going to get one of the three of us. Mm-hmm. If you're a regular customer, we're going to remember you. If you're not, you know, we're going to try to learn about you, and let's talk about your dog and your kids and the rash on your knee and how we can help. That is what we do. And quite frankly, I don't want to grow beyond that. I love that we've got other resources that can help us with our e-commerce, with our technical support, with our marketing. I've got someone else who helps us with blogs. Love that. But I really want to keep that service close-knit and maintain that personal feel. And I think that we've achieved a lot of success with that. If you look through our reviews and our comments, that is where we really shine. We sell a product that a lot of other people do, but we'll reward you for continually coming back to buy it from us, and we'll make sure that we know you and we take care of you. So I think that is how we will continue our foothold and keep that growth up in an incredibly competitive market.
Awesome. I wish you all the best. I think you guys, you sound like you've got all the basics in place, and I'm excited for you. I'm sure that if you keep doing this, it's going to keep growing and you're going to make a lot of people very happy.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're still here, which means you definitely enjoyed that conversation. This is a special COVID-19 e-commerce mini-series to help small business merchants out there get prepared. We're doing a lot more of these, so be the first to know whenever there's a new episode. Just follow DataCue, that's DataCue, on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Stay safe out there, everybody. Till next time, this is Sharam.